God wants you and I to bloom where we're planted. There was a children's song years ago that when Judy was small that we used to play. It was called We Sing or something like that. And one of the songs on there was Bloom Where You're Planted. And, you know, that's the title of today's message. I thought somehow that just came to me and got a hold of me. And I thought, okay, Lord, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be Bloom Where You're Planted. I find myself at times being anxious and sometimes worried about things, and I have to catch myself in that, and I have to take those anxious thoughts captive. You can't always avoid having anxious thoughts, but you can determine what you're going to do with them. It's up to you whether you want to entertain that and allow that to get in you and on you. And, you know, life is really a matter of perspective. It's how you see things. We need to see things through the Lord's eyes. How does God view things? Not how do I see things, because we've all been born with a corrupt nature, with a very blurry vision of reality. You can have a room full of people, of unbelievers, and everybody has an opinion about what is right and what is wrong. But just because it's my opinion doesn't mean that it's right. But if you ask, you know, people, most people believe that what they think and what they believe is true. Why? Because it's got to be true because I thought it. How many here beside myself have had very strong views or opinions about things and then later on discovered that I wasn't right after all? I see one honest hand back there. That's, brother, God bless you, man. I'm going to be preaching to you this morning. So not, all of us have, haven't we? We've all been convinced about things, that we were right about certain things, and then later on, the truth hit us. The reality sunk in, if you will, and we realized that that's not true. That's false. I don't know about you, but I hate being duped. I hate being deceived. It's embarrassing. But you know, sometimes it takes an embarrassment to get our attention. We have to be humbled. We have to realize that we're flawed and that our opinions are not what matters. What matters is God's word, the truth. Because if you know what is true, you won't be duped by the lie. You won't be deceived, believing something to be true, though it's not. God wants us to know what is true. The world is full of messages and voices, and if you go on YouTube, how many here ever surf YouTube? There are so many things out there, so many voices, so many opinions, so many doctrines even, and Christian doctrines, and there's, you can get so confused so quickly by listening to all the voices that are out there. You know, the Lord wants you to know what is true. He wants you to know what is authentic, what is real. And God gave us His Holy Spirit to help us know, to teach us, to instruct us in the way that we should go. He gave us His Word, and He gave us His teacher, the Holy Spirit, so we can know what is true. And when you know what is true, you're no longer deceived. You're no longer believing a lie. Or even your own opinion, which may be a lie in your own head. Now you're starting to realize what actually is true. Not what I've always thought it was or what others have told me it is. And today, you know, there seems to be a lack of critical thinking and people just accept what people are saying because it sounded right. And why are you out here protesting today? Well, I don't know. Everybody else was doing it. Because somebody said this about so-and-so, what, you know. And all these things people are saying and believing and not even checking it out. They're just going with it because somebody said it somewhere. Are you hearing me, somebody? And because we are social creatures and God designed us to be part of families, amen? And because there's so much brokenness and the breaking down of the family today, you know? And so people are looking for clans, they're looking for families, they're looking for somebody to connect with, amen? And unfortunately, a lot of times we're looking for love in all the wrong places, and we're listening to things and advice that people are giving us that may not be based in reality. But if our eyes are not open to what is true, if we don't have the Holy Spirit, we're not able to see what is true. You're just going to believe a lie and think, well, it sounded right to me. The Bible says there is a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end is the way of death. So there's a way that seems right to me. I used to think I was right and everybody else was wrong. God had to take the lid off me. He had to take the veil off my own eyes and give me a good glimpse of myself before I was in a place where I could take responsibility and say, God, I'm the one that needs help here. I'm the one that needs to repent. I'm the one that needs to get right with you. It's not everybody else's fault that I'm where I'm at. It's my own choices that put me here. Come on, somebody. Because at the end of the day, folks, the Bible says that it is appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. Everyone will have their day in court. So what do? Well, we come to our advocate, our defense attorney, Lord Jesus Christ, the only one who can save us and the one who can represent us to the Father, the one who shed his own blood for us. Amen. So that we could be forgiven. We could have a heart that's clean. Amen. And presentable before the Father. The only one that can help us is Jesus. Amen. Jesus needs to be the center of our message, of our lives, of everything, because he's the only way, truth, and life. He's the only way to the Father. He's not one of many ways. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me, John 14:6. So God wants us as his people to represent him in this world, to bloom right where you're planted. Where you find yourself today is where God wants you to be. How many here have found yourself in places in life that you would have never chosen for yourself? Things change. You had everything figured out. It was on paper, or, you know, my life's going to look like this. It's going to be like this. And all of a sudden it's like, boom, something changed and happened. And everything is different now. Wow. And you find yourself in a new place, a new situation, maybe a new challenge, a new giant to face. After Israel had spent the time wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years, they finally came to the promised land. And everything, after they had a time of warfare, seemed to be settling down and going quite well. And so they appointed judges to rule for a time. And after a while, that wasn't good enough. They said, well, we want a king. Well, God wanted to be their king, but they said, we want an earthly king. We want a man to rule over us. So God gave them Saul, who later backslid, didn't he? But after Saul came, what, David? And then David had a son named Solomon. And during Solomon's reign, life was good. Israel was very prosperous under Solomon. In fact, nobody was as rich as Solomon. No one was as wise as Solomon. He was a good king. Yeah, everything seemed to be going quite well. But then after Solomon, something happened. Things changed. Things split. The northern and southern kingdoms had different rulers. They split into a northern and a southern kingdom, and they both had different rulers. And then they had constant conflict among themselves. It almost sounds like the war of the north and south, doesn't it? And then in 712 BC, the Assyrians, they completely wiped out the northern kingdom. And only the southern kingdom remained. Well, as long as we got the southern kingdom, how many ever start to adjust to things and say, well, at least I got this, at least I got that. And things start to whittle away. And well, at least I got this and I got... Sometimes, you know, people are, we're just so stubborn. We're not getting the message. Hello, somebody. All right, well, just give me free stuff and I'll give you my freedom. Well, let's not go there today. Then in 586 BC, another kingdom arises. And that was Babylon, remember, under Nebuchadnezzar. And the Babylonians destroyed the southern kingdom. But they took prisoner all the, the brightest of the people, and as captives, and Israel went into captivity. Now, Israel had backslidden. And you know, it's usually in a time of prosperity where we're most vulnerable to turning away from God. When we become comfortable, then we're more vulnerable to backsliding. And a lot of times, you know, we may not even be aware that we've backslidden. You know what I'm talking about? Has anybody ever thought that things were going quite well, but other people are thinking differently about you? Because we can always justify what we do. We can always find an excuse for, you know, where we're at and what's happening right now and give ourselves grace. But, you know, the grace that we give ourselves cannot save you. It's only the grace that you receive by the mercy of God. Because you repented and you've turned to Him and you're trusting in Him. You can't save yourself, in other words. Only Jesus can save you. And so now everything had changed. They lost the northern kingdom. The southern kingdom was then defeated. They were taken away captive. They're in a strange land, a place they'd never been before. You know, nothing was familiar. And no one was even expecting that kind of future for Israel. Do you see some parallels here today of what's happening in America? Our nation is eroding. It's falling. But God wants to be merciful. And He wants to be gracious. He wants to forgive. He wants to heal. That's His heart. His heart is redemptive. And God is very patient. He's long-suffering. Not willing that anyone should perish. God waits for us. And He gives us opportunity after opportunity to return and to do the right thing. But there is a time when God says enough. Israel came to that place. We don't know where we're at in America. There's a lot of buzz about this and that, and that things are going to turn around or things are going to go the other way. But Israel didn't expect what happened because they just kind of thought that life is going to continue to go on as usual, even though they were backslidden in their hearts and away from God, and they're involved in all kinds of sin as a nation. They became idolatrous. And often in America, one of our biggest idols is actually two. One is sex, and the other one is prosperity. Are you hearing me, somebody? The God of money. So they might have been asking the question, like some of you may have, and I have at times even, when things have happened to me, where is God in all of this? Was it fair? Is God good? The devil comes along and says, it's because God's not good. See, he always wants you to blame somebody or something else rather than yourself. The blame game, you know. It's because of this people group or because of the forefathers or because of, you know, my parents or because of, you know, this person in my life that I'm who I am today. Well, God says if you know the right way and you don't walk in it, then it's sin to you. You can no longer blame somebody when you know what is right to do and you don't do it, it's sin. That's what James said. So you can't blame somebody else for your problems. Now people get abused and God hates that. Amen? And God will avenge such. But when we know what we should do and we don't do it, it's sin. But if we recognize that I'm wrong and I'm willing to change, I'm willing to turn to the Lord and ask Him to, first of all, Lord, forgive me for this. But Lord, also give me the grace, give me the ability, God, to overcome this thing, this giant, whether it's an addiction or whatever it is. Some type of besetting sin in your life. God wants you to have victory in every area of your life. He wants you to deal with every giant that you face. He doesn't want us to run and try to escape. Now, Israel probably thought, well, maybe we can do an insurrection. We can take out the Babylonians and we'll escape this oppression. But God didn't have that in mind for them. And I want you to hear something. This is the thoughts that they had when they are in this situation of captivity in Babylon in Psalms 137 verse 1. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it. For there, those who carried us away captive asked of us a song. And those who plundered us requested mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. And they said in verse 4, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? Now, I don't know about you, but I feel like America is becoming more and more like a foreign land. It's not the America I remember when I was young. But I have to say this, guys, is that whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And God has been very gracious and long-suffering. And God is calling you and I as His people, the church, to humble ourselves, take responsibility, pray, seek His face, turn from our wicked ways. Then He said, I will hear from heaven. 2 Chronicles 7:14, amen. And forgive their sin and heal. The only hope that we have as a nation is to return to Jesus. But Israel was going to spend time in Babylon, and it was a lot longer than they probably thought. They spent how many years? 70 years in captivity. God had not forgotten Israel. They're saying, how can we rejoice in such conditions? Now, I'm sure they had it a lot worse than we do. Because in America, let's face it, we are pretty spoiled. We're pretty coddled here. We've had it very good. You know, even the poor in this country are rich compared to many around the world. And we have every reason, amen, to give God thanks, even in the simple things. Praise God. Did you have some place to sleep last night? You had something to eat this morning? Amen. We've got to be thankful. We can go to and buy clothes anywhere. There's people that don't have clothes. They can't even get clothes. God had not forgotten them. And in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 4, everything seemed to be hopeless, but God hadn't forgotten them. Then came the word of the Lord from Jeremiah the prophet. In verse 4, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Who caused them to be carried away? God did. Build houses, verse 5, this is what he's saying. Dwell in them. Plant gardens, eat their fruit. Take wives, beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there, and not diminished. In other words, God didn't say, escape, run away. He says, bloom where you're planted. Seek the peace of the city. This is what, guys, we are to do. Verse 7. Seek the peace of our city, where we live, where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. There are many people, many Christians today that don't think that prayer is all that important, you know. And how do I know that? Because they don't pray. If we really believe that prayer is important, that we need to pray, we'll pray more. If we really believe that God does answer prayer, if we have faith, we will pray more. Come on, somebody. It's getting quiet in here. It's time to wake up. It's time to get back to God. It's time to be petitioning the Father and calling out to Him and crying out for mercy. For the sake of our families and our homes and our nation that's crumbling before our eyes while people are just spending all their time on YouTube and I tell you what, I've spent a lot of time on YouTube myself. I'm trying to spend myself on good things, feeding myself, amen. Being educated is okay, but so many people are caught up in just fantasy land and spending themselves playing video games or whatever it else, you know, constant 24/7 entertainment, and they're living in this delusion where the enemy is working very hard Behind the scenes, so many in the church are asleep, and the reason they're asleep is because they don't pray. Oh, we think that we see, but actually we don't, because our eyes are not opened. Because everyone's eyes, in their own eyes, they're right. Because I thought it, because I think it, because I know how spiritual I am. I can remember hearing somebody one time in a church, maybe not have been here. We had a testimony time, and this person blurts out, "Well, I'm a man of the Spirit. I'm a man of faith." And he was boasting about his spirituality. How many know that the closer you get to God, the more humble you become? The less selfish you become. The more loving you become. The more truthful you are. The more that you fear the Lord, the more honest you'll be about everything and not try to just sugarcoat, amen, everything and pretend everything's okay if it's not. We need to fear the Lord and not man. So listen, in the New Testament, it translates this way. You ready for this? 1 Timothy 2:1. "Therefore I exert first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." What did God tell Israel to do? He said, "Pray to the Lord for the city. For in its peace you will have peace." Verse 2, "For kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence." Is it important for us to pray, guys? For what reason? "That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence." How many know America didn't just arrive here overnight? It's been a process of years, amen, of backslidden Christians, amen, and apathetic Christians and being complacent. And you know what? There's been times in my life where I've been there myself, and I praise God for the Holy Spirit and the conviction that He brings me, amen. Sometimes I need a good attitude adjustment, amen, to get me back on track and to wake up and realize how far we've drifted, because sometimes we've drifted from the Lord and we're not even aware of it. Other people see it, but we don't. What does it say in verse 3? "When we pray for those in authority, this is good and acceptable." You want to please the Lord? Pray. You want to please the Lord? Intercede on behalf of others. Stand in the gap for others. So often our prayers are all about us. "God give me. God do for me. God bless me. God bless my family." Well, those are important prayers. But how about "God bless Joe and Sally"? "God save that mayor. Save that governor." I pray that God will give us the grace, amen, to pray for him. Because God's not willing that anyone. Wouldn't it be amazing if this guy gets saved? I think we should pray that way. God, get a hold of him. If he has to go out and eat grass like Nebuchadnezzar. I thought about Nebuchadnezzar. Well, God got a hold of Nebuchadnezzar. Here's a guy that set up an idol for himself and had everybody worship it. God had to humble him, but as a result, he had a revelation of the true God. He came to know who God was in reality, not what he thought, because he thought he was God. Let's face it, so often we live as though we are God and not him. Isn't true? God desires all men, verse 4, to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, God also had warned, now hear this, Israel not to listen to the false prophets. Because the false prophets in that time were telling them that their exile was only going to be a short period. "Oh, it's going to be a short time and then we're going to be out of this." In verse 8, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel," Jeremiah 29:8, "Do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams, which you cause to be dreamed." In other words, sometimes our dreams are based upon what we want, not on what we need. Sometimes they're not based in reality. "For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord." Verse 10, "For thus says the Lord, and after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and cause you to return to this place, because God is a promise keeper. And he promised Israel would have a land. But he had to punish his people for a season. Give them an attitude adjustment to get them back to where they needed to be. And he says, for I know, here it comes, that famous verse that we love so much. Now we've seen it in context. This is what's going on. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. He's saying, I'm going to give you hope in your final outcome. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me. Then you will what? Call upon me and go and pray to me. When you've had an attitude adjustment, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me. And I will listen to you. When your heart is in the right position, when you have been sufficiently humbled before the Lord, when you're realizing that He's God and you are not, that He's always right, not just part of the time, then you're going to go to God and say, God, you know, you're always right, and I need to remember that. Because sometimes I think my idea is better than yours. How well does that go for you? He says, and you will seek me and find me. Listen, when you search for me with all your heart, then he says, you'll find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. And God has been doing that through the diaspora. Man, the Jews from all over the world have been coming back to into the land, into the nation. I mean, it was talking about a time after 70 years, but also we see today internationally that's been happening. They're returning to the land. Because God is a promise keeper. And you know, you and I, as His church today, we are the spiritual Israel. There's no longer Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free, male nor female, but all are one in Christ. National Israel has been given certain promises from God. Amen. But the spiritual Israel are the new man in Christ Jesus, Jew and Gentile together in Christ. Amen. That's God's plan for humanity, that He would have a people of all kindreds, tribes, tongues, and nations coming together under the lordship of Jesus Christ. So Israel had three responses in Babylon. Number one, are you ready? They could assimilate into the culture and become like the Babylonians. Well, now that we're stuck here in Babylon, we live, this is where we live, this is our culture, this is our society, we can just kind of blend in and be just like everybody else, compromise, or they could even isolate themselves and have nothing to do with Babylon. Well, I'll just stay away from all those people in the world. In other words, I'm going to hold the fort and wait on the rapture or wait for a way out. How many know you can't run away from your assignment? God calls you to be salt and to be light, to be influencers in this world. Amen. Or number three, they could be influencers in Babylon. Not out of it, but in Babylon, as God's ambassadors. Do you know that God's plan for you is just amazing? And it's just amazing. The more that you discover Him, the more you get to know Him and who you are in Him, it becomes exciting, because I have found the Christian life, even though I was a party animal in the world, I'll tell you what, there's no comparison to living for Jesus and the excitement and the joy that comes with that. Then everything I was trying to fill myself up with in the world, it could not touch it. The joy I have now is an exceeding joy. The love I have now is God's love in my heart. It's so good to lay my head down at night in peace, not to be plagued by a bad conscience, you know, or our regrets or fears or worries about what could happen to me. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not paranoid looking in the rearview mirror anymore if I see a police car. Well, maybe a little bit. Only for the speed limit, though. Amen. Now I can say, hey, I praise God for the police now. Before, I wanted to avoid them. But now I thank God for our police. Amen. And we need to pray for those guys. There's some bad apples, but most of them are good people. The media wants you to believe they're all bad. Lump everybody into the same thing. Because the devil's a destroyer, isn't he? I was talking with someone just the other day, and we were discussing how, you know, the devil came to rob, to kill, and to destroy. And all three things are actually what's happening in our nation today. That's Satan. And if people don't have the Spirit of God, if they're not saved, they're not going to see it, they're not going to understand it, they're just going to go with what the crowd is doing, what society tells them, what they hear that seems like it might be true. And most people, they don't even do any research to check it out. They just... Want me to see you do that again? Yeah. Hook, line, and sinker, you know? What did God instruct Israel to do? Look at verse 5. Build houses, dwell in them, plant gardens, eat their fruit. Take wives, beget sons and daughters, take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. You know, he's saying, live your life. Live your life right where you're at. Bloom where you're planted. Plan your life as if you have 100 years, but live as if you have one day. Bear fruit. Amen. Be ready for the coming of the Lord. There's all kinds of buzz today. When Jesus is coming, is he coming in an hour from now, or is he coming in 7 years after the tribulation? Jesus said, be watchful and be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour when you think not. He's saying, I'm not going to tell you everything. I want you to be ready. And I want you to be about my business in the meantime. Keep trusting. Keep walking. Quit following the ways of the world. Listen to my voice. And I'll lead you in the way that you should go. Because let's face it, living in the Northwest, to me, it's like living in a foreign land sometimes. Living in Babylon. You know, God hasn't assigned us, guys, to the Bible Belt. All right? He hasn't assigned you to some monastery on a hill where you're just going to escape it all. I don't know about you, but I've often thought about homesteading up in Alaska. God, get me out of this place. I'd probably get eaten by a bear, but, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, wouldn't it be good just to escape it all? But God says, if you leave, then where's the salt? Where's the light? He wants us to plant. He wants us to put our feet down and say, God, empower me. Fill me with your Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Open my eyes, Lord. Make your will my desire. Give me holy passion. Show me where and how I can be effective in changing the world around me. Hallelujah. For greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Who are we going to bow down to? The media report or the God of heaven who says, I've given you authority in my name to go in my name to cast out demons, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to preach the kingdom, amen. That's what we're called to do. Not to cower down, not to back up and try to hide from everything and isolate ourselves. God says, be salt, be light, be the influencer in your society, in your realm of influence, in your circle of friends. Because he's coming. He is coming, just like he said. God wants us to be an expression of him in the earth. We may be living in Babylon, but we're not of Babylon. Jesus said in John 17, verse 15, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Amen. If God didn't want you here, he would just kill you and take you home. But he wants you here because he has a mission for you. Amen. It's a superior mission to what you think you want for you. God's will is always better. So our bodies may be in Babylon, but our spirits are united with Christ in heavenly places. My peace is not determined by what's going on externally around me. My peace is in the Lord. He is my peace. He is a supernatural peace, a peace that what passes all understanding. You're not going to find peace in dope. Amen? Because eventually you've got to come down. You're not going to find peace in whatever else you're looking for. Alcohol. You know, entertainment, constant 24/7, distraction. Our bodies may be in Babylon, but our spirits are united together with Christ in heavenly places. The question today is, have you assimilated into Babylon? Have you become like Babylon, or are you being salt and light in Babylon? Have you isolated yourself from Babylon, or are you God's ambassador to Babylon? You know what God wants to do? He wants to bring Babylon into the kingdom. He wants to bring the people of this world into the kingdom, just like he brought you and I out of that into his marvelous light. Amen. God now wants us to go and do likewise and share the same message that saved us with other people, so they can escape and they can come to the Lord and be saved. Hallelujah. God's will is not always comfortable. Sometimes, guys, we want to escape our present situation and look for something more comfortable. Have you ever been tempted with that? I see that on his head back there. Amen, brother. Sometimes we want to get out of the uncomfortable place. But sometimes God's will is going to have you in a place that's not comfortable for a season. But I've heard it said, and I believe this, is that if you think about ourselves being an olive berry, you know, the olive oil is precious, but it has to be crushed before the olive oil is released. And sometimes, guys, the pressures that come upon us are there to release the precious oil of the anointing in our situation. Broken people are vessels that God can trust and use. Broken meaning that I'm done with me. I'm not trusting in me anymore. Amen. I'm not finding my sufficiency in me, but my sufficiency is in Him. My hope is in Him, not in me, to save me. If you try to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake in the gospel, Jesus said, you'll find it. It's no longer I that Paul said, no longer I that live, but what? Christ who lives in me. Hallelujah. So like Israel of old, false prophets will prophesy what they know we want to hear, but not necessarily what we need to hear. I want to share this. I've shared you with some of you this before, but I worked for Panasonic for about 9 years. And I was in a situation where I was a newborn babe in the Lord. And I just came out of the world. And I was into rock and roll, and I played a lot of stuff, and I was just into all kinds of garbage. And God had taken me out of that and gave me a new heart, and I began to see everything differently, and I began to desire what He desired, and I wanted everybody to know about Jesus. But I found myself in a place that was definitely not friendly towards Christians. So it was very difficult. There was a lot of pressure while I worked there. But I determined that I was going to be bold, and I was going to obey the Lord, and I was going to preach to these people. I was going to tell them about my Jesus when I had an opportunity. And I got one of the biggest King James Bibles you can find. And I carried that thing around with me everywhere. I mean, it wouldn't rock the table when you set it down, you know. But there was many times when I said, oh God, get me out of this place. I'm just sick and tired of it all. I had to listen to the same music that I used to play in the world all the time, because they just piped it in on you all the time. And it was like I had to do warfare in my mind because of that. Because, you know, music can do that to you. It can put you in places and things, right? And where you've been in the past that maybe you don't want to go back there and revisit. So I had to learn how to do warfare and how to take thoughts captive. And how to overcome the pressures. And how to forgive and how to bless those who would curse me, and how to do the opposite of what the world wanted to do to me. And I've discovered that as I was consistent in that, and even though I made mistakes, I take responsibility for it. But God was developing me in that time. He was making me strong in Him at that time. If I had gotten myself out of that situation, I would not have received the benefit of being under that pressure. Are you hearing me, somebody? So we need to be careful about trying to take ourselves out of a situation that's uncomfortable, because it would be so much easier, but it may not be what God wants. We need to determine whether it is God's will or not. So over a period of years, actually, some of the people that hated me and mistreated me started to come to me. They had a loss in the family, or they had a sick child, or something had happened, or, you know, or they just started to get scared about the stuff that was going on and say, hey, they started asking me some questions. I got to invite people, and they actually started coming to church. I'm telling you guys, God wants you to bloom right where you're at. Be salt and light. Rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? The Word of God to sustain you and strengthen you in that and overcome the enemy of your soul in that situation. Don't give in to him, because the greater one's in you in Christ. I wanted to be somewhere else. Wouldn't it be nice? I was thinking, man, it'd be great just to be in a Christian environment. Maybe I'll go apply for a Christian bookstore or something. Whatever. You know, you get these thoughts. But God set the time for me to be there. It wasn't up to me. I needed to overcome in my situation by the grace of God. And the same thing is true today, guys. We are here for such a time as this. God has an assignment for you right here, right now. Bloom where you're planted. You are salt. You are light. The greater one is with you and for you and in you. If you have Christ in you, amen, then he is greater than the one that's in the world. We should not be intimidated by our adversary. The opposite should be true. The devil should say, oh God, they're coming in the room. Here comes that guy with that big King James Bible again. We just need to be faithful. Faithful to him who's faithful. We can live for God in this world, even when things don't go the way we planned. Israel hadn't planned to go into captivity. But God says, I want you to bloom right where you're at. Build houses, plant gardens, have families, populate. Why? Because after 70 years, God was going to have a people. Amen. That came up out of that, that would come into his glorious liberty, into his that freedom. And there's no song like the song of a soul set free. Amen. I remember seeing scenes of the Vietnam War years ago when these guys would come back after being held in captivity. Horrible conditions. And they came off that plane and they were just so grateful. So joyful. They'd get off that plane and they would kiss the ground. Because they were free. That's how it was with me. God set me free. And I'm so grateful. I said, Lord, I want to live the rest of my life for you. I'm going to give myself to you now. The rest of my life, the rest of my days. I'm not going back into the hog pen anymore. I've tasted that food and it's awful. I know at my Father's house, they serve only the best. He'll set a table before you, even in the presence of your enemies. You can dine right here in Babylon. Amen. Hallelujah. You can rejoice in the Lord. You can delight yourself in him. Hallelujah. Your heart can overflow with the love and joy and peace and goodness of who he is. Amen. And you can be a light even in the darkness, because the darker it gets, the lighter we become. Where iniquity abounds, grace much more abounds, right? So, the good news is that the whole sin problem has been dealt with. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he settled the sin problem. Amen? For not just us, but for the sins of the world, if people will turn to him. And I want to read just, I'm going to finish here shortly, okay? Isaiah 53:5. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be made whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us. Somebody say all. Like sheep have strayed away, we have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. So we need to be willing to turn away from our sin, to receive God's full pardon. Isaiah 1:18, the Lord says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He's saying your sins are so deeply staining that there's no possible way, there's nothing you can do to deal with that sin. It's permanent. Except one, the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us from all sin. Only the blood of Jesus can forgive sin. Amen? Only the mercy of God. If you are willing, verse 19, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. We are at a crossroads in America. And many are at a crossroads in their own life between heaven and hell. Who will you serve? I know for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. We know who wins. We know who is the future and the past. Amen. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The one who was and is to come. The Almighty Jesus Christ is coming. Today is the day of salvation. If you can hear His voice, if you can still hear His voice, if you can still feel the presence of God tugging at your heart, don't resist Him. Don't rebel against the Lord. Do not harden your hearts as Israel did in the wilderness. But yield to the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Because it means that God has given you an opportunity to be saved. But if you continue to resist the Lord, people's hearts become calloused and insensitive. And their minds become darkened. And their conscience becomes ineffective. But thank God there is mercy at the cross. There is a way to come back. It's called repentance. See, the devil wants to convince you that you can't be free from your sin. He wants to convince you that you can't be free from your habit, from your sickness, from your addiction. He's a liar. And he's the father of lies. Guys, it's time for us to fight. We need to fight back. We need to say, enough is enough. The devil has destroyed my life long enough. I'm taking responsibility now. I'm taking control of this body, and I will do so by the grace of God who equips and strengthens me to do so. I rely upon the power of God. I'm going to get a desperate heart for Him because only God can help you. Only God can give you the victory. You by yourself are no match for the enemy, but greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. In Christ, we can overcome whatever it is. If you're willing and obedient, if you're willing to fully surrender to Christ, then you can be fully set free from the devil. I'm going to finish with this. If you're willing to fully surrender to Christ, then you can be fully set free from the devil. That's where it's at. You have to make up your mind. Repentance means I've made up my mind who I'm going to serve. I can't serve two masters. Jesus has said to His church, I want you to plant. I want you to build. I want you to live your life, but I want you to bloom right where you're planted. I want you to represent me and your circle of influence. Don't run away from Babylon. Don't isolate yourself from the people of Babylon. Don't become like Babylon. Come out of her. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, says the Lord. God wants His church to be holy. He wants His church to be pure. And that's why Jesus said, listen, guys, you don't need to be afraid of your sin. You don't need to be afraid of the devil. You need to know who you are in me and the authority I've given you. In Luke 10:19, it says, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power or dunamis of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Guys, we are world changers because the world changer is in us. We don't bow down, amen, to Babylon. What we're going to do is we're going to storm hell, amen, and populate heaven. We need to point people to Jesus. He's the only way. Amen? So we got to come out of Babylon in the sense that we don't assimilate in and pick up her practices. All right? Don't entertain stuff, you know, that God doesn't approve of because you belong to Him. Don't be cheating on God. Keep yourself pure. Hallelujah. Father God, I thank you for the word of God today. I thank you for the truth. I thank you for my brothers and my sisters. I thank you for the work you're doing in our lives and our hearts. And I thank you for speaking to us today, Lord. And God, I pray that you would grant us repentance unto life, Father, that all of us will be honest and take an assessment before you, asking you, Lord, how it is. Not what we think, but what do you say? How is it really between you and I? Lord, you said if we're willing and obedient, we shall eat the good of the land, because we know you are a good Father. God, we thank you that you have prepared for your church a table, a banquet, right in the midst of all this. God, we don't have to look to the world, to entertainment, to Walmart or whatever, to parties. We look to you. And we delight ourselves in you, and we are completely satisfied in you, for we are complete in you. For you alone satisfy the deepest longing of our heart. God, I pray that we will find our satisfaction in the will of God for our lives. That we will take up our cross and follow you daily. Teach us how to walk in your ways. Father, lead us by your Holy Spirit. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Amen.